This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesh and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Bonjour to our new Caledonian audience and welcome everyone to Neesh and Footy, the best spot for our Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name's Tinirao Arona, and alongside me each week is my co-e, Sammy Wykes. Sammy, you were a bit poorly last week.
What, in what way? What are you saying?
In terms of your sickness.
Oh, I thought you were talking about my performance on Neesh and Footy. I was like, come on, mate, don't you dare review me like that.
I did listen back to our episode last week, and there were a few coughs. And
yeah, there was.
So how are you feeling?
I'm good now. I'm at the back end of it.
Yeah.
I'm sweet to go, ready to rip
in. Over the weekend as well.
And back again this week. So last one for the season.
Jeez, I bet your wife would be happy.
I think she prefers me away at the moment. I was terrible for Mother's Day. I was terrible every other weekend. So I've got a lot of making up to do. But hey, let's get into our show here. Big one planned. Super Rugby. Wana Pacifica had the bye, so it was just the drawer. They went down to the Blues. We'll go through that game. NRL round 10. Comebacks galore.
I'm there was a draw. It the round of the comebacks. But we also had it all. We had a flogging. And we had our first draw of the year, so we'll cover that one during the show as well.
Tip in, how'd it go?
Tip in, you actually got two from two. Toops got you two.
Are
you talking about Neesh and Footy Fly?
No, I was actually talking about in general, because rugby league seems hard with all the comebacks and
all
draws.
The upsets, awful.
Okay.
But we'll save Neesh and Footy Fridays for Friday.
And our guest.
Our guest on our show. We have one of the characters of the NRL, and he is not the biggest human, but he has the biggest heart.
I knew you were going to say that.
And he has some ticker as well. He's represented Tor Samoa, and he's also played for the Manly Seagulls in the NRL. And his name is Gordon Chan Kum Tong, a great, great man in our game of rugby league.
Moment of the week.
All right, T, our moment of the week this week, short, sharp, but has probably the biggest, I would say the biggest moment in Neesh and Footy history, because I love this bloke so much. May he rest in peace. Jonah Lomu, 50th birthday would have been today for the great man. I think as a kid, absolute idol.
I was just about to ask you that.
Yeah.
What's your favourite memory of Jonah Lomu?
Man, the PlayStation game, Jonah Lomu PlayStation, just the amount of fights that game caused of people cheating, the allegations, and then like celebrating as if it was the grand final. It was special, and especially when you unlocked Team Jonah.
Team Jonah.
Team Jonah. From 1 to 15, it was Team Jonah. So he had an impact on not only just, I think, rugby union players, but I think everyone across the Pacific.
I loved his haircut, you know, when he brought the
fringe. I had the haircut. Did you do the fringe?
Did you do the fringe?
I did the fringe.
Wow, you must have been a big
fan. I was
fan
a big fan.
Jonah.
I had a horrible head too, man. It wasn't great, but I just thought that deserves our moment because of what he did in the game and the impact he had.
Rest in love, Jonah Lomu.
Malalele, everyone. Ko hoku ingoa, ko magra manase. Pea ko kaoen I polo kalama ko Neesh and Footy. Peka aki mo Sam and T. Pea ko kaoen I he am timi penina Pacifica. Peka aki mo e am fefine, tamai fefine koe he am waenga kapulu.
One of my favourite guests on Neesh and Footy. Sammy, please translate what she said.
She was happy to be here on Neesh and Footy, and she mentioned my name and your name, and still learning the rest of how to speak Tongan. So she was outstanding, wasn't she?
Well, we'll be catching up with Shelley shortly, who's taking Tok Pisin language classes.
Maybe I should take Tongan classes as well.
You should take Tongan ones. Yeah. But let's get straight into footy results and news. NRL Round 10. Women in League Round, Sammy, where we get to celebrate and acknowledge our women who play all roles within our game at all levels. So players, staff members, referees, even the great mothers who take our kids to the footy on the weekends. And again, a big happy Mother's Day to all the mothers across the Pacific for yesterday. But this round had it all. You know, we had comebacks, we had the flogging, we had our first draw. I want to focus on the round of comebacks. So three games. First was the Knights versus the Titans in Newcastle. Now, the Knights got out to a 20-point lead after 30 minutes. And you thought, okay, Titans, after all the news that they've been attracting over the last week with their coach and David Fifita, you think they're done. Send it back on the plane, get up to Goldie. But they come back with 24 unanswered points, and it was the Samoan centre, Philip Sami, who scored a double for the Titans.
Now Randall steps inside that 10-metre line in the two-man tackle right in front of the uprights. Play three, Gold Coast. Verrills across now for Campbell. And now DeGruy with the cutout ball to the run of Sami, who again obliges and runs in to score. Tries another half for Philip Sami to keep the Gold Coast Titans alive. 20-10 kick to come, Titans.
So that was our first comeback. Now the second comeback was the Rabbitohs versus the Broncos in Sydney. A try to Broncos winger Dean Mariner. He helped them get to a 14-0 lead at halftime. Then, I don't know what happened in the sheds, but the Rabbitohs, they reply in the second half with 22 unanswered points, and it was the Tongan hooker, Siliva Havili, who got them on the board with a barge over from dummy half.
Humphreys to Kolomatangi, then away to Sullivan. Show and go from Jaden, but he's dragged to the ground 4 metres out from the goal line. That was really a try saver there from Piakura. Now out of dummy half, the Rabbitohs score the try. Wow, just like that, they're over to score the try. Saliva Habili, he gets it down for South Sydney, the veteran, playing at hooker tonight, his old position. 2 minutes 30 gone second half, and South Sydney gets the perfect start.
With 3 minutes to go, they were 14. It was a 14-all draw, and it was Latrell Mitchell, halfway line, boom, slots a two-pointer. And then at the end of the game, Latrell Mitchell.
I'm keen to get your opinion on this.
So
play on.
I'll paint the picture. It's 80 minutes done. The guy, the Rabbitohs player, plays the ball. Latrell is at hooker. He picks up the ball, takes a knee close to the line. Broncos players pause, and then he just jumps over the line to score a try, gets him out to an 8-point lead. But the game was already
done. It was full time, and it's usually, yep, all he had to do is concede in the tackle, and it would have been game over. But so the Broncos
play on, mate. Yeah, I'm saying play on as well. You play the whistle.
You feed him if he does that.
If you're the Broncos coach, are you going to get upset at Latrell? You're getting upset at your players for letting him score.
I'll get upset at my players for sure.
Play on Latrell, and they end up taking out that one with that big comeback. But the biggest of them all, the top of the table clash where the Raiders took on the Bulldogs in Canberra. Now the Raiders came out swinging in the first half with 4 tries, leading at halftime 20-0. Remember, Bulldogs are at the top of the table, and you'd think there's no way the Bulldogs coming back. But led by their Samoan skipper, Stephen Crichton, he led the charge. They gave him some early ball, right centre, 2v2. He goes up against the other centre and the winger, holds the ball in one in his right hand like a tennis ball, throws it out to pretend that he's passing to the winger, brings it back in. Left hand fin to the defender, runs through to score the first try, which led to the rest of their points for the second half.
19 metres out now from the Raiders line. Ball comes back now, and it goes to Hayward. White, it goes to Tracy. What can he do? Then it goes to Crichton, and Crichton really winding up, gets his arm free, he's almost through. Try, Bulldogs. Crichton, they just couldn't stop him, and he has scored in the corner, and the Bulldogs are back. It's 20 points to 4 with a kick to come.
2 minutes later, Critter makes another break, sets up another try, and then not only a few minutes later after that, he makes a break which leads to Viliami Kikau setting up Marcelo Montoya down the other edge, and then Kikau scores later a try of his own. So 6 tries to none in the second half to the Bulldogs. Stephen Crichton also kicks 4 goals, and the Bulldogs go on to win 32-20. The Dogs remain on top of the NRL ladder. And then, Sammy, I mentioned we had our first draw for the year, Cowboys and the Panthers, 30-all draw. That went on for 90 minutes, that game, and we couldn't get a decider. A number of field goals missed. And then the big blowout, the Storm, they smashed the Tigers 64-0, scoring 11 tries, kicking 10 goals, and their fullback Ryan Papenhuyzen scoring 36 points on his own. A huge performance.
Touch footy for the Tigers that game, but I'm sure they'll bounce back this week.
Tigers. Yeah, well, remember you can hear that game and every other NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. New South Wales jersey flag, the Cavite Silk Tailors, went down to the Rabbitohs in Redfern 14-6. They had one try score, Sammy. And I have his name here.
I am
going to have a crack at his name. His name is Kaveni Tikomai Ilangi Lenandi. But we've got our expert that you've called in to get the right pronunciation of his name. This is one of the hardest I've ever seen.
Yeah, I read some Fijian names a lot, you know, commentating on the Drua. I couldn't put this one together. So, yep, Kempisi Ma'afu. Former Flying Fijian, he's come through with the goods, and let's just make sure we get this right for our friend Kaveni.
Sorry, the right pronunciation is Kaveni Tikomai Ilingandi.
Tikomai Ilingandi.
Well done.
Well, the Cavite Silk Tailors, they have a bye this week, and they are unfortunately at the bottom of the New South Wales jersey flag table. That's it for Rugby League, Sammy. We'll catch up more with Shelley Long on the Long Story Short, but Rugby Union, what
always,
do you got for us?
Always love your work, T. Well done. Yep, Moana Pacifica had the bye this round in round 13 of Super Rugby Pacific, so it was left to the Fijian Drua to fly the flag for the Pacific, and they were up against the Auckland Blues, and they were actually looking to go back-to-back for the first time this year, but they went down 34-5 in serve and tee. Honestly, I think this is probably one of the worst performances I've seen from the Drua. I know they've had some like in Perth, but at home, I'd say this is probably the one that I'd want to forget. Like individually, I didn't see anyone really stand up and want to take this game. And it just looked like a completely different team to the one that just won 6 days ago against the Reds.
Is that because they felt you'd think that the season's done and they just ticking the box to get out there and play, or
it could be a combination.
I
think that probably has to do with it as well. It's like if you're not playing for those competition points, it feels like you maybe failed because they made the semis last year or the quarters last year. So yeah, it's them managing those emotions of like there's always a pride and everything on the line when you're playing.
Well, last Friday we asked Totai Kefu, it's like, how do the boys get up for this game? What motivation do they have? And he mentioned straight away the Fijian jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of these players would be playing for a Fijian jersey.
Yeah, and exactly right. You're always playing for something. But, in this case, this game, hopefully they can – it just wasn't to be, and hopefully they can turn it around in their final home game in Lotoka this week. But when I look at the Blues, they honestly did nothing special. It was a very basic game plan, pretty much copy-paste of what they did last year. Just win the territory battle by kicking, turning the Drua players around, make them play from their own end, and then defensively just stay connected and look to create turnovers from that, either through penalties or dislodging the ball. And that's exactly what they did. And Bowden Barrett and Dalfa Funaki, their halfback, they just played that to a T. It was a masterclass from them just with their kicking and making sure that their team just had a nice defensive line. And their points just came from that relentless pressure. Just nothing fancy at all. Like, I didn't even call Rico Ioane's name once, I don't think, in attack, who's one of the best attacking players in the game. And he just made his tackles, just hit some lines, and that was it. So nothing fancy, but it worked. And when I look at the Drua, I just think they're missing some leadership in their spine. They're 15, 10, 9, and probably two forwards, like a back row or a hooker. Like, that's the spine in rugby union. So I just think they're just missing that leadership to make good decisions under pressure.
I know we mentioned earlier in the season and probably their first half a dozen games where the coach was rotating the players. Do you think that that's a good example of the team chemistry? What's it been like the last few weeks? Has he stuck to one team?
Yeah, again, I feel like it's a combination of everything. So there's been some, yes, probably early on there was rotation. But now as the season's gone on, there's been some forced rotation from off-field incidences, some injuries, and I believe just no form at training as well. So there's been a combination of factors that have probably gone into the rotation. But you're 100% right around the chemistry, especially the change of Frank Lamani's been injured, so he's been a big out of his leadership. But just with their 10 and 15... You know, Bowden Barrett, man, his kicking was a masterclass, and I just felt that there was sometimes a disconnect in the backfield on to make decisions on whether to run, pass, or kick. So that's what hurt them. That's what hurt them on that one. So I just thought, yeah, again, they're probably disjointed with the forwards in the backs, so that's why I feel like the spine of the forwards was crucial. And coming into this game against the Western Force, plenty to play for, and they do well against the Force in Fiji, so I reckon they can turn it around and finish on a high. But they'll go into next season better for this year, because knowing full well how hard it is, you know what it's like to back up seasons. You know, you can't have one hot day and make it summer. So they'll get their lessons out of it. They'll
new
be better
coach
for
as
it.
Well.
First year for a new coach. So he'll have some plenty. Like, yeah, the whole group will have some really good learnings to take out of it, and they'll be better for it. So all confidence for them. But with the Blues now winning back-to-back with bonus point wins, they now jump into fifth spot. And with the Chiefs winning over the Crusaders and the Brumbies winning against the Force, it means the Chiefs are on top. The Brumbies are now second, Crusaders third, Reds fourth, and Moana are now in seventh.
So no points for the bye.
No points for the bye. Now you get jumped. Yeah, they got jumped.
Get 2 points for the NRL.
But they've got a tough run home, the Moana Pacifica. Hopefully they can still make the six.
What's their run?
They do have a tough run, all Kiwi teams, and it's got to start with the Blues this week. So we'll see what happens in that game. But speaking of the Blues as well, I managed to get a little interview, T, after the game with their captain, Patrick Tuipulotu. He's not only captain the Blues, but he's also captain the All Blacks as well. So to me, this felt like a big get.
Did you say, talk us through it in the moment. Did you go up?
Nijin
Footy.
I did.
Did he try and run away from you?
I had to do the aftermatch interview for the captain. And as I'm looking at for the player of the match, because I already interviewed him as captain, so he's already walked off. But I was keeping one eye on him where he was going. And then I thought I missed him because he had to do the aftermatch press conference. And as he came out, I just approached him straight away in the tunnel. I said, hey, bro, our content goes over to the Pacific. I'm on Nijin Footy. It's radio. Man, would love to hear your voice on radio. Is it okay to do a quick interview? He goes, no problem at all. Then Namani Kurundrani walks past. He goes, hey, make sure your invoice works here for that. I was like, he's good, mate. Yeah, so I caught up with him and I started by asking him how the game was.
Yeah, tough. My first carry sort of got some good shoulders on, so definitely felt the drill out there, and it's quite physical for the whole game. So.
I've always wanted to ask, Tuipulotu, that's a Tongan last name, bro, but you're Samoan, eh?
Yeah, so as far as we know, I'm full Samoan, so Tuipulotu is from my father's side, and so his father died when he was young, so never really got the chance to sort of find out more. I suppose that's probably something I may get to do further down the line, but I mean, I joke around, I'm half Tongan, but you never know, I could probably am.
Because I claimed you all the time, and then when I heard you speak in Samoan after one of the games in the interview, and I was like, damn it, I thought he was Tongan. But hey, you got Moana Pacifica next week, huge game, you know, Adi Savea and those boys, they've really uplifted the team there. Firstly, you know, as Pacific Islander, how does it make you feel seeing them do well?
Yeah, very sort of good vibes in my heart, I think. Seeing them do well, especially this year, and seeing guys like Artie sort of managed to uplift them quite a bit. My brother plays for them, so that's awesome to see him sort of getting around and doing so well. So, on the other side of that, you sort of want to smash them when you play them. So I think that's something we're looking forward to when we play them this weekend. I suppose last time we probably did a good job on them. Ran our set piece, managed to keep them out of the game, but the physical side, and they love the ball carry. So, I'll be expecting them to sort of be real tough and physical up front.
And last one, who does the family support then, with your brother being from Moana and you've been with the Blues?
Certainly sick of supporting me at the Blues, so the younger brother's probably getting all the support now.
Well, there you have it. Patrick Tuipulotu is one of the best leaders in the game at the moment. It's always good to see guys like him and Artie just really leading the way in that space.
Good to see you doing some extras over the weekend as well, mate. Great work. Get them on.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate it. Hey, he followed me back on Insta, so I'll slip into his DMs.
And send him an invoice.
Yeah, you can send me one. I'll send him your paycheck. But hey, that's it for Super Rugby Pacific, but we'll have a look at the Pacific Nations Cup. The draw came out for 2025, and this is what's happening. August 22nd, September 20th, Fiji, Samoa, Tonga involved and all in the same pool. And then Pool B is Japan, USA and Canada. Fiji are the defending champs, so their home game will be in Suva, and Tonga will play in Nuku'alofa. And Samoa's home game will be in New Zealand, and the finals will be in the US. And just with qualifications coming up for the Rugby World Cup, because Fiji and Japan have already qualified for 2027, the best three out of the four remaining teams, Samoa, Tonga, USA and Canada, will gain direct qualification for the World Cup. And the worst team in the PNC will play a South American team to qualify. So a lot at stake here for our Pacific Island teams. Hopefully Tonga can win and qualify, also Samoa. And we'll see how that unfolds. So that's
great
it.
Work, Sammy. Well, let's head over to Shelley Long for the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
We are back with our PNG Orchid star and NRLW player, Shelley Long. Shelley, we missed you last week. It's great to have you back on Nijin Footy. How's your week been?
It's been really good and great to be back. I did miss it my Monday last week, but I was learning everything about culture. So, you know, great excuse to miss an Nijin Footy episode.
Yeah, I heard you spent some time learning Tok Pisin and your Papua New Guinea language immersion course. What was that like?
It was full on. The day started at 9 and went till about 3:30, but the amount of study that we did afterwards was quite intense. I really enjoyed it, though. I think it really challenged me to just fully embrace the language. And, you know, I was the only one who was originally from Papua New Guinea, being born there myself, but I also love seeing how much other people from other countries really engaged in the course as well.
What's a sentence or a word that you remember from that course?
Oh, there's a few sentences, but I might say this one: "Mi hama maslo kamlo here." I'm happy to be here. So yes,
how good,
beautiful. How good was that?
Let's get straight into State of Origin. We had game one a couple weeks ago, with game two coming this Thursday. What do Queensland have to do different to try and win and keep the series alive?
Queensland have to take a deep look at their efforts from game one. I think, unfortunately, they just didn't turn up with the intensity that was required for a State of Origin game. There was obviously a lot of times where players stood up and really tried, but it was too long fought. And for Queensland, you know, they're known to be a gritty team and they grind away, but unfortunately that didn't really happen in game one. So a lot of things to be fixed there. However, in terms of their squad, they've only made one change, and that is changing Proud Samoan Destiny Brill, taking her into 19th man, and then adding Chelsea Lenarduzzi to the forward pack off the bench. So they haven't made a lot of changes considering their quite a big loss as well.
Yeah, do you think they're just trying to add a bit of size just to go, like, get them going forward? I know they're missing the likes of Shannon Martor, who's, you know, pregnant now. But adding Chelsea to the team, do you think that's where the angle they're coming from is just trying to go forward and get the New South Wales Blues pack on the back foot?
100%. You look at the New South Wales Blues forward pack and they are very solid girls, quite tall as well, which makes them hard to tackle. In game one, we noticed a lot of the time the players weren't getting taken to the ground. For instance, you had Samaima Talfa running it hard. It was drawing in about three or four players. And then off the back of that carry, you see Ellie Johnston running at a half. So again, I think that size will really help Queensland out in terms of game two. But I think across the board, skill-wise, penalty counts need to decrease. There's a lot of other things that contributed to their loss in game one that they'll need to fix for game two.
Who did you like out of our Nijin stars for both sides that stood up and played well, and who you're looking forward to for this matchup coming up?
Oh, someone who really stood out to me was Samaima Talfa. Again, a very strong ball carrier, very tough and gritty player that we love watching every time she takes the field. But I also really liked Sienna Lofipo for the Queensland Maroons. I thought she was playing out of position. She took a lot of carries. She did a lot of hard work in terms of defence. She even made an outstanding tackle on one of the girls, lifted them up, put them on their back, which for the Queensland team, I think gave them a lot of momentum and go forward as well.
So who are you tipping this Thursday? It is going to be a tough one for the Queensland because they are playing in New South Wales territory. What's your prediction?
You know what? Every time I think people talk about it being whoever's territory it is, I don't really think that goes into play here. We've seen previously last year where Queensland went down to Newcastle and ended up coming away with the win there. So I'm definitely backing the Queensland girls. I think they can definitely do it, and I think they've got the gritty side to really take the win and keep the series alive.
All right, now seriously, who do you think is going to win? Seriously. I'm joking. I'm not going to put you in that spot. You know, you tip with your heart. You're going Queensland. Obviously, a record crowd in that game one. What are you thinking for this week in Sydney? Do you reckon the numbers will be there for this big game?
Oh, 100%. I think, you know, there's a lot of Blues supporters out there, and I think they'll definitely get behind the girls. We've not seen any changes in that squad either for the New South Wales Blues, so I think a lot of supporters will be there to cheer on their fan favourites.
It's funny you mention that, Sammy, because both my mum and my brother both asked for tickets to the Blues game. Now, my brother never came and watched me play in NRL. The only time he came and watched me play was every time we played the Warriors.
So, to support the Warriors. Yeah, fair enough.
But here he is asking for tickets to go and watch the Blues, and I know he's support Sala Tonga Tuki as well. Yeah. So it's good to see that the women's game is growing that audience. Now, looking, I know today, this Monday, the NRLW, they officially kick off their pre-seasons. What news do you have for us in the rugby league women's world?
Yes, so pre-season officially kicks off this afternoon. Most players who were relocating for the season would have made the move over the weekend ahead of their first session tonight. We've got a lot of new players coming into rugby league. We've seen four New Zealand rugby union players having made the move over to rugby league, and that's just in the last couple of days. So, again, the poaching has continued, which we love to see. Unfortunately for Sam, probably a bit sad there.
No, they get to play both. That's why I don't mind for the women's game, because they get to do their rugby season, then move into NRLW season, then come back to rugby.
But so the ones more that are, footy. The ones that are playing rugby league this year, they miss out on the World Cup then? The rugby,
yes,
the women's,
yeah, the women's, yeah, yeah, that's all right. They got their Super W fix, so that's all right.
Oh, interesting. But just recently announced, proud Fijian Vani Bilecki and proud Samoan Monica Tangawai have recently signed with the Bulldogs. That's exciting news for them. Monica is a former New Zealand Black Fern herself, whilst Vani is also a former 15s and 7s player for Fiji. So, again, some more poaching done, but I think we'll add a lot of competitiveness to that newly formed Bulldog side coming into the NRLW competition.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to these new two teams, the Bulldogs and the Warriors. What's your thoughts on how you think they'll go this season?
I think they'll go great. You know, I think like any newly formed team that's coming into the NRLW, I think they're able to learn off of previous teams, and I think someone like the Bulldogs and the Warriors will be able to do that. I think the growth of the game in New Zealand will definitely help strengthen the Warriors. They've signed a lot of local juniors, a lot of local pathway girls there, and I think that connection that they have, particularly to culture but also to their country, and then being proud women who are the first to represent the Warriors, will definitely also play a massive part in their performance. So I think they're going to go well, and I'm excited to see them enter the competition.
Yeah, I just want to wish also the new Bulldogs NRLW coach, Braden Williami, all the best this year. I know his season's about to kick off, but as a new rookie coach and a Fijian one as well, I hope he does really well. So all the best, Braden.
Love your work, Shelley. Let's go to rugby union. Wallaroos played the New Zealand Black Ferns on the weekend. How did you see this one?
Yeah, it was unfortunate. The Wallaroos suffered a 38-12 loss in their first game of the Pacific Four series. That now becomes their 28th straight loss to the Kiwi, to the New Zealand Black Ferns. So it's a tough one. I think, you know, the performance from the Wallaroos showcased a lot of developmental growth, particularly in the forward pack. You know, we've seen a lot of progression there, but the errors that seeped in the game when they were finally gaining that momentum really, really impacted their ability to score those tries that they needed to stay in the game with.
Who did you think stood out in that game?
My standout in the game was Pesir Palu. I thought, you know, she led from the front being the captain of the team, and I thought she did a lot of hard work in that game. There was other standouts in that game, but I think particularly her just ability to be such a strong captain and always manage to keep them cool. There wasn't any kind of a situation in that game where she was a bit frazzled, which I also love to watch.
Ash Masters played well again. She put a came off the bench, big hits, and Eva Kapani scores another try. She's unreal.
Yeah, I thought Ash Masters demonstrated, you know, that development in their forward pack. Strong tackles. We saw on the New Zealand fullback that massive hit. That was outstanding. Unfortunately, she ended up injuring one of her own players in that contact. It just was great to see, and I think her hard carries as well were great. But particularly in terms of their scrums and their lineouts, their development there has improved a lot. There is still a lot of improvements needed across the board just in terms of the ability to hold on to the ball into contact and hold on to the ball under pressure. That's where they lost their momentum in that game. So they do versus the USA in Canberra this Saturday at 4:55 p.m. So hopefully this week they're able to make some changes there, fix up their mistakes and get a win.
Shelley, outstanding work on great the rugby work, union Shelley, analysis. Yes. I didn't have to interject once to help you out. Like you talk about improvement. You, my friend, were outstanding today with that. Well
next,
done.
Next week, we just want to hear it in top
position. Yeah, we're asking for a bit there, but look, you know, I've really been enjoying this year's Super W and also the Rugby Union International season. So I'm really looking forward to watching this one. I'll be at work, but you know what? I'll put it on the TV for all my students to see and they'll love it because they've enjoyed it every other weekend.
So you're new. How far away are you from playing?
Oh, that's still a little while to go.
But in time for Super W next year.
His next question is, do you have a player agent?
And hey, come play rugby.
Do
honestly,
you want to join?
Join. You'll be a great back rower.
Sammy Wyke's management team.
I'll get you a gig somewhere.
All right.
All right. We'll talk turkey after.
We'll talk about it after.
Easy as.
Well, too easy, Shell. Appreciate all your work. And we'll see you next week on Nesian Footy.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to it.
It's Nesian Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Well, Sammy, we have one of the great characters of the NRL here with us today. He was born in Sydney in New South Wales, Australia. He's also Samoan and Chinese of heritage, and he made his NRL debut for the Manly Seagulls in 2023 and has represented the mighty Toa Samoa on three occasions. I want to introduce everyone to Nesian Footy, Gordon Chen Kum Tong. Gordy, thanks for joining us, brother.
What an intro, man. No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it, boys.
let's rewind the clock, go right back to your upbringing. What was your upbringing like, you know, being brought up in Sydney? Tell us a bit about, you know, your childhood.
I remember my childhood just being full of family. I remember growing up in a house in Yuguna with about four or five families in the same household. School holidays were the best, and also the weekends, like, just full of family, cousins around. Cousins, I didn't even know they were my cousins, but we still called them cousins. it was a blessing. I'm grateful for my upbringing, and
And just with that, I believe you're one of nine. Sydney, you're the eldest of nine, actually. So what was that household like with all the cousins, the nine siblings? Where did everyone sleep or connect and have a bit of fun at home?
Yeah, so I'm the eldest of nine, and our house was always full of other kids, and we just play like rugby in the backyard. It would just be full on, and we'd always be competitive. And I think that's where my nature of competing has come from since a young age. And it was the best. I'm truly grateful for it.
And your culture, Samoan and Chinese, You know, who's from where? Your grandparents? Do you know the villages as well?
Well, I know the villages of where I'm from in Samoa. So I'm from Kunga Fuafua and Afenga. And my dad is half Chinese, so I think that makes me quarter. But I still haven't dug deep into that Chinese side yet, which I want to do one day. A lot of people have been hitting me up saying you need to embrace your Chinese heritage more, or at least learn how to speak it. So it'll be something I'd definitely be interested in going forward.
What was it like having a Chinese last name, you know, especially when you went to school and teachers would read it out, but then they would see this Samoan little wrecking ball coming at them like that? But, you know, what was it like when, you know, just walking around with the Chinese last name?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tongue twister on my last name. People still struggle to say it. But, yeah, growing up in school, all the Islander boys probably say, oh, mate, are you sure you're Samoan because your last name? And I used to be embarrassed. Like, I used to always just shorten my last name and just call myself Chan. Like, when the boys ask me, what's your last name? I say Chan. Like, I was afraid of my identity. But now, I embrace it. Like, I'm happy where I'm from. I'm happy to embrace that I'm from Samoa. And I'm actually part Chinese as well. So, yeah.
What was that shift or what was that moment that, you know, made you feel proud of, you know, who you are and your last name and, you know, representing you and your family?
To be honest, it's probably when I came into first grade and I got told from a few of the older boys just constantly to be yourself. And then I wasn't being myself if I wasn't sharing my full last name. And I come out of my shell and just remember putting my full last name. And yeah.
Outside of the, you know, the big family and the numbers in it, what else do you love about your, you know, your Samoan culture and growing up in a Samoan household?
I love how Samoan, us people, we have family, like God first, and then there's family. It's like family, God, and sports, or whatever you do. And it's always, but it always comes back to God. So I'm truly grateful for that. And us Samoans, like, we're really family orientated, and that's what I love. So I'm the eldest of nine, and I've got an 18 month year old myself, and I've got a baby girl due anytime soon. So got my hands full on, but yeah.
You got your second one.
Second one on the way, yeah. Anytime this week now.
Damn. Yep. You've definitely got your hands full and following in your father's footsteps. And
my mom and dad said I started too late, so.
Oh, so you can't catch the nine. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, I can't catch the nine.
Is that a challenge?
I think it was, but nah.
With your footy, you know, Bankstown Bulls Junior, were you always a, you know, smaller player compared to your teammates and your opponents?
I've always grown up small. Like, I've always, like, I don't know, everyone just always did it. I didn't make teams because I was too small, and it just made me work extra hard, I guess. Like, I used to just have real self-doubt because I was too small. I wasn't able to make teams, and I should be really hard on myself, but I realized, like, it's all part of the process. Like, receiving a setback it's normal. Like, you normalize that and you work on your craft and you work on the things you need to work on to move forward. It's fine. But I always, because I'm always small. I was always, like, the smallest amongst the, and I still am the smallest. So I seen them come out of a stat in NRL and I was, like, number five and the smallest in NRL. But I know it's always made me work harder. Like, my drive has always been to prove not only myself but others wrong. Yeah, now I remember there was a Bulldogs Parramatta trials, and I thought I'd had a good game. Like, I came off the field like, oh, mate, surely. And then I remember the coach the next week tapped me on the shoulder and said, oh, you did nothing. He played well, but I think it's just your stature is too small. And hearing that as, like, a 15, 14-year-old kid, I was, like, heaps devastated. Like, I thought, mate, this one's a quick 40 then, eh, to be honest. But then that's when the opportunity at Manly come through. Remember the Fulton family hit me up, and I was able to have a trial match. I did my thing, and from there, the rest is history. I've been at Manly since, and bro, loving my time here.
Did you double down on your strengths, or did you work on some of those weaknesses?
Bro, that's a good question. I remember reflecting on my game, and I just wanted to work on the things that everyone would pick on me at. Like, they said I was too slow. They said I wasn't agile enough. So I started, like, working on my flaws just to prove them wrong, I guess. And bro, shout out to my boy Michael Folalo.
Yeah.
Bro, I remember hitting him up like, man, I need to work on a lot of things in my game. And he said, yeah. He gave me the location, gave me the time, and said, let's get to work. And ever since then, bro, I've just been working. I still to this day, like, trying to keep on top of my craft, because it's hard when you get to the top, but it's even harder staying there. So,
You know, looking at your journey at the Manly Seagulls, I'll touch on your debut that you made in 2023, but you know, with the club itself, there's a lot of Pacific Island presence. There's a lot of boys there. And one thing I love about coming into the club is you just feel that warmth and that culture within the club. What's your take on, you know, the Manly Seagulls as a club and also the Pacific representation that you do have at the Eagles Seagulls?
Man, I think it's unreal. I think we have like this this worship group chat, and it's been the most numbers all Polynesian boys have ever been like since I was first at the club. But it's been I think we have a real connected group at Manly across the board. All of us Polynesian boys are really close, and we look after each other. We pull each other up, have those hard conversations when needed, and it's something you need in a group. I really love it. Honestly, it's mad coming into training and all the buzzes. It's high energy. Us Polynesians, we're full of energy, and the training is good. And after, then we have our laughs. So it's a good balance, I'd say.
You bring a lot of energy as well. To you can just tell, like the way you play, the way you smile like that. Do the bigger boys say like humble and that? Do they have to rein you in sometimes to say, "Hey, kick back, just relax a little bit," or are you just full noise the whole time?
Oh, I'd say probably the big dog at Manly is probably Josh Alloway. Like,
oh, true,
if you get a bit out of line, he'll just, you know, tip us up. But that teammate, he's like a big brother to all us, all the boys at Manly. So, yeah.
A shout out to Josh. He speaks really well, and the way that he holds his culture and his nation on his shoulders as well. It's really cool to see. 2023, you make your Manly Seagulls debut.
Yeah.
What was that experience like? And I believe you even got to kick a goal that game.
So I went for 1A.
Still 100%, the only one in the NRL, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Only from in front, though. It's good. I couldn't even put words to explain it. It was like a repayment to my parents and my family for all the sacrifices they've done for me growing up as a kid, like raising 9 kids. But I don't know, they invested so much time in me. And for me, the debut that year was like a reward to them. It was so good. And also, like, I have heaps of family and heaps of little cousins and brothers and sisters. So for me to do so, it was like a setting example for them, like being a good role model, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was more than just a debut, to be honest. Like, it was special.
How did you find out?
I remember being at home, and I received a phone call from the head coach, and he called me, and I was like, oh, man. Like, I was nervous. I was like, bro, is this a good thing or a bad thing? I picked it up. I was like, hey, Soups. And he goes, yeah, mate, how you feel about making your NRL debut? And I was like, my heart just dropped, man. I couldn't believe it. I tried to hold it in, and I said, oh, yeah, I'll be keen. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I think I'm ready. You know, then bro, I remember just celebrating as soon as I ended the call of the head coach, and I was full of emotions. And at first, I tried to keep it quiet. I just told my partner and my mum and dad. Right, next minute, I remember being on the phone with my mother. Mum, just keep on the low for now. And next minute, my auntie and uncle called straight away. Hey, congrats. Like, what? Oh, bro. Yeah.
How'd you go for the tickets? Did you have to get many?
Oh, I got heaps that day. I remember we had a whole bay. I think Josh still has a photo, and we had a whole bay. It was just my family and friends. So
it was reported, bro, that there was 150 family members.
Oh, bro, something like that. We're close to that.
Man, it's hard enough getting, say, four tickets as a player, and then you're asking around to the boys, hey, can I have your four? Yeah. Can I have your four? So how did you go about getting 150?
Oh, it was hard at first. I remember telling the manager, I think I need this much tickets. And he looked at me funny. And I said to him, I actually think I need those amount of tickets. And he goes, all right, I'll see what I can do.
What was that moment like when you did get asked to take the kick? Or did you ask them to take the kick?
Nah, I remember we got the penalty right in front, and Chesley goes, mate, do you want it? And I thought it was like J-ing up, and I was like, nah. And he goes, mate, yeah, take it. And then he made me kick it, and I was like, oh, he's crazy.
That's awesome.
I haven't kicked a goal since under sixes.
Man, I love that story. Chez is obviously a very good leader, and recognized that moment for you. What was a better feeling, you know, running on for your debut, or actually walking over to your 150 family members after the game and them embracing you and just seeing them all with the black shirts on and celebrating your moment?
It had to be embracing the moment with the family and friends, to be honest. Yeah, that I still remember that warm feeling like I've done it. Like all my trials and that growing up as a kid, like, and to be able to finally make my NRL debut, like fulfill my goal, my dream, and to embrace that with my family and friends was like, I don't know, gives me goosebumps to this day.
That's awesome, man. Even just being an inspiration to all your siblings as well. But moving on to your Tor Samoa debut, now, what was that moment like to represent your nation, your background, your bloodline, and also your family?
Yeah, now see, that was a different story when I received that phone call from Ben Gardner. As a kid growing up, you always want to represent your culture and your family and obviously your country. And when Ben Gardner called me to represent Samoa, I was a no-brainer not to accept it. But I remember just putting on that jersey, even the training, like the training kit, just the train of the boys, the vibe was crazy. I remember like the training sessions, those Penrith boys, like it was Critter, Bizza, they're just full of energy. But they have like this mode where they can switch on when to be fully focused and then when to have the laugh in that. And it's something that I've learned to develop in my game. It's fun to have laughs in that, but when it's time to switch on, you need to switch on and get the work done. Representing my family and my culture, man, it was probably the best feeling. Like singing the national anthem, getting teary, man, it's what every young island Polynesian kid dreams of growing up.
What about when you had your first team meeting and when you assemble as a group together and all the kit is there with your bags and you're walking in, you're seeing Critter, you're seeing Jerome, all these superstars of the game. You know, what was that moment like for you?
Yeah, I remember receiving our gear. I was like just super nervous, eh? But again, I needed to be myself. And once I was able to be myself, that first training session, I think, broke the ice, to be honest, where everyone mingles, everyone gets to know each other, everyone has a laugh. And then, yeah, we kicked off from there. But the vibe is there. We didn't even need to talk, to be honest. You just feel it. And once you feel it, you just do it.
It's a special feeling. And I remember coming into camp and it felt like I was walking into a room where you're all cousins or you're all like, you're all family and everyone's having a laugh. And I think it was Sua Fa'alongo who came late to the meeting that we're in, and then all of you boys had to make him start dancing at the front in front of everyone, and everyone just laughing and paying them out. But you mentioned earlier, you know, it's hard to make it to the top, but it's even harder to stay up there. And you know, currently I was watching you play New South Wales Cup and for Manly before that Storm game. What are some of, like, looking at your, you know, where you're at now, what are some of the things that you're working on or to stay on top of to, you know, eventually get back into the NRL team and get to back to playing NRL consistent footy?
It's like, I think me personally, or like young Islander Polynesian boys, like we work so hard to achieve that goal of cracking NRL. And then once we crack the NRL, it's like, oh, what next? So I had that like what next mentality where like I thought I cracked it and I thought I could stay at the top, but the things I was doing to get there, I stopped doing. I got too comfortable, I'd say. So I'd say like just keep doing the things that got you there and maybe add a bit more. Like add a bit more on your craft, add a bit more on your – you love to eat, so maybe watch what you eat.
And also, that's right. It's having that growth mindset and – 100%. You know, it becomes a lifestyle and it's a journey. It's, you know, there's actually no destination. When you stay on that journey and you stay on that, what you're saying, you know, keep chipping away at it.
Yeah.
And eventually you end up staying where you want to stay.
Exactly. So it's like, I was too comfortable, I guess, where I look at like players like Hamole, Josh, they've played over 100 NRL games. And I'll just like, they're at the top, but I always see them too, like do extra craft. And I go, I'll say to myself, mate, you're already there. Like, but now it all makes sense. Like you got to put in the extra work in order to keep your position, stay atop of your game. Like even like little thing as recovery. Like today I'm going to go to the recovery with the boys. But man, if you asked me 2 years ago, recovery for me was playing a video game and sleeping. It's like crazy how like I've just started to like learn and maybe the word mature, I guess.
You're not wrong. It is actually more about the smaller things that matter the most, your recovery, your nutrition, the mental side of the game, because physically you can't keep doing speed sessions and extra speed sessions because you're in a full-time program. So where you get in that little competitive edge or those 1%, so it's a really good message. How does having, you know, being a young father and having two kids or one on the way, how does that put things into perspective, you know, with the journey that you're on? Because it is disappointing when you're not playing, but how does that put things in perspective?
Good question. I think a question I was asked last year was, when your son grows up, how do you want him to look at, like, know his dad by? Like that question really resonated with me. Like, if my son was to grow up and he was to look at his dad, would he say, "Oh, he tries his best," or does he do nothing? Then I really like it resonated with me well, because I want to be like a leader to my son and also my family, like to be a good role model. Yeah, so I just want to try my best and put in 100% in everything I do. So when he grows up, he knows that he can do the same, you know, or be better. I want him to be better.
Love that, bro. And final question for me. What advice would you give to a young Pacific Islander kid or any kid that probably isn't as big as all the other kids in their team or as big as their opponents, but also has the dream of one day representing their nation or even playing in the NRL?
I think it's for me as well as for if I was at all a young Polynesian kid, is to get rid of that fear. I think fear is the roadblock to everyone's dream, everyone's goal. So once you replace that fear with faith, if you're religious, you'll go a long way. So just get rid of that fear in whatever you do, and just do it, I guess.
Beautiful, beautiful.
You're the man, brother. Well, Gordon Chen Kum Tong, it's been an absolute honor to have you here on Nijin Footy. I always knew that I was going to get you on the show one day. It's just a matter of time. So appreciate you, brother, and thank you for your advice too. And you know, you've been a real inspiration for your nation, for your family, but also, you know, a lot of kids across the Pacific, and watching you do your thing and also being yourself. I think that's what puts a smile on my face, is seeing a young Samoan kid still being that young character in the NRL, surrounded by, you know, other NRL players. So appreciate you, brother. You're the
Thank
man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate Thank it. Take care.
Have a good day.
Hi, I'm Mona Lisa Soliola, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Give me three answers for this one.
18-14, Sam.
Look at the tone in the. I hear the tone in his voice.
Oh,
the spring in the
why
step.
Why do you get nervous every time?
The smile on his face.
Come on, mate. It's just the game.
Well, tell yourself that it's just the game.
This is our game of categories. 3 points up for grabs each week. And it may be about footy or it might not be. The loser at the end of the year has to shout the host and their partner a spa day dinner, the works. So I'm up this week. So give me three.
Here we go.
Given that it was Women in League over the weekend, I will pay my respects and acknowledge our NRLW captains.
Ooh.
Give me three Pacifica NRLW captains from 2024.
Tiana Penatani from the Sharkies. There's one.
Beautiful.
See
how easy those answers was. Just straight off the tongue.
Who is next?
Talk. What's your thought process?
What
are you
thinking?
My
thought process is, like, I'm trying to think of some of the guests that we've had on.
The guest?
Have we had any other captains? Oh, my goodness. The teams that
we have had one. On our show.
We have had one. Okay. Oh, Samoa Mataufa.
Yes.
Yes, from Canberra. So
and
I'm just
that's
trying to
your last clue, mate.
Okay. No, but I just gone through the teams that are actually in the comp. That's why.
Okay.
So Brisbane, no. Cowboys, no. Oh, yes. Talisha Harden.
Three from three.
Yes, there it is.
See, that's
That's a good answers. Question. Good question. My question will be great next week.
Will it now?
It will be.
Just make sure you don't prepare it on the left on the way up.
Oh, bro, I'm in Fiji. Give me a chance, man. Just to
you'll
get
be
right.
All right.
Sweet. But hey, that's our time up. Tell your friends about Nijin Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. And this time, I will see you on Friday.
Yes, ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.